Good evening, and thank you for joining tonight's telephone town hall hosted by the Colorado Department of Transportation and the High Performance Transportation Enterprise, or HPTE. My name is Roger, and I'll be your moderator tonight as we talk about the North I-25 Express Lane project with Kathy Gilliland, HPTE Board Chair and CDOT Transportation Commissioner, David Spector, HPTE Director, Randy Ahrens, Mayor of Broomfield, and the North Area Transportation Alliance Chair, and Megan Castle representing CDOT Express Lanes. We've called residents near North I-25 to discuss the proposed toll rates for the express lanes recently built between US 36 and 120th Avenue, and we look forward to your participation this evening. First, let me tell you how this call will work. This is a very interactive and informational session, so we would like you to feel free to ask our panel a question. If you'd like to do so, press *3 on your keypad, and you'll be transferred to an operator who will take down some basic information and get you in the queue. Once the operator notes your information, you'll be returned to the call and can listen to the conversation until it's your turn to ask your question. You'll be prompted by me when it's time to ask your question, and at that point, we'll ask you to repeat it for our live audience. So again, press *3 on your phone if you'd like to ask a question. Tonight, we will start by having our panelists give you some brief information on the new North I-25 express lanes, as well as the proposed toll rates, and then we'll open it up for your questions. Since our panel would like to hear from as many of you as possible, we will ask all callers to limit yourself to one question. And again, when it's your turn, I'll call your name and ask you to repeat the question for our audience. So, also let me mention that we'll be asking some survey questions later during the call, and I'll explain that process to you in a few minutes. So again, press *3 now to ask a question. Now let's turn the call over to Commissioner Gilliland. Kathy, would you introduce yourself, please, and get us started.
Thanks, Roger. We really appreciate everybody joining us tonight. My name is Kathy Gilliland, and I am the chair of the High Performance Transportation Enterprise Board, as well as a CDOT Transportation Commissioner. As a resident of Northern Colorado, I couldn't be more excited to have opened the North I-25 Express Lanes for testing recently, and I'm grateful that you joined us to talk about the proposed toll rates for that lane. The North I-25 Express Lanes connect to the Central I-25 Express Lanes in Denver and extend these lanes from US 36 to 120th Avenue, bringing much-needed congestion relief to the Northern Denver metro area. If you have not tried them yet, you can still use them for free until tolls begin this summer. These lanes are CDOT's fourth system of express lanes, with more planned in the future on C-470 and Central 70. At CDOT, we know from experience that we can no longer build our way out of congestion, and express lanes offer choice while managing heavily congested highways. It is an example of the innovation that is part of the new era of transportation for CDOT.
All right, thank you, Kathy. Next, I'd like to call in Mayor Ahrens. Mayor, please introduce yourself and talk a little bit about what North I-25 means for our northern communities and how they will work.
Yeah, thanks, Roger. I'm Mayor Broomfield, and I'm also the chair of the North Area Transport Alliance, or NATA. We've been working since 2009 to solve transportation challenges for communities north of US 36, and that basically started after we saw the vote in 2004, the Fast Tracks vote, and wanted to make sure that the residents that were paying in taxes on the north side of the metro area were being taken care of. And it's not been easy, but our regional cooperation has been instrumental in the solutions we are starting to see. Our collaboration with Thornton, Westminster, Federal Heights, Adams City, North Glen, Broomfield, Commerce City, Brighton, and the North I-25 Coalition is what we needed to do to make sure that we got to see things go further. RTD's North Metro Line is currently being built up to 124th Avenue, and the plans are to continue and have it go further up to Highway 7. And the North I-25 Express Lanes project to 120th is a wonderful start to a system that will eventually join the Northwest Parkway and E-470. At the North Area Transit Alliance, we continue to advocate for one of the fastest growing regions of the state. It's estimated another 70,000 residents will join us in the next 10 to 15 years. Tonight, though, this is about the newly opened North I-25 Express Lane. It's an important step in meeting our mobility challenges. There are a few things to note about the express lanes before we go talk about the tolls. The lanes are on the inside of the general purpose lane, separated by a buffer, similar to US 36. Do not cross the solid white lines. Enter and exit only at the designated areas shown on the white dotted line. They are available 24 hours a day and connect to the existing central I-25 express lane, which are reversible lanes that are open in certain directions and at different times of the day. As part of the project, there is connection to the central lanes that forces southbound traffic back on I-25 general purpose lanes when the reversible lanes are northbound. And finally, the north I-25 has three northbound entries and three southbound entries to make it more accessible. And you can see more specifics at cdotexpresslanes.com. And just let me say that being part of Broomfield, we were part of the US 36 that got the P3 project going. And we did that with tolling lanes, and it is working wonderfully.
All right. Thank you, Mayor, very much. Now we want to get to the focus of our discussion tonight, which is the new proposed toll rates. David Spector, who is HPTE's director, is here to explain that piece in more detail. David, go ahead.
Thanks, Roger. Tonight, we want to discuss the proposed toll rates for the North I-25 express lanes. We also want to remind people that drivers are never forced to pay a toll. Drivers always have a choice to use the free general purpose lanes in each direction as well. On North I-25, toll rates vary, with higher toll prices corresponding to the times when traffic volumes are the heaviest to ensure reliable travel times. I will give some examples of the proposed toll rates, but you can always see the proposed rates at www.coloradohpte.com, where the toll rates are posted. With a pass, the tolls on North I-25 express lanes range from $1 to $3, with the highest rate during the 4:30 to 6 p.m. northbound rush hour. Without a pass, that rate can range between $3.58 and $6.75, which includes the toll plus an administrative fee to cover the costs of a license plate toll. Now, if you've driven on the US 36 express lanes and have seen a different toll prices along the way, I'll explain why. It's important to note that North I-25 is a little bit different. Because we want to encourage throughput to best manage the congestion on this particular highway, there is one price charged for the whole section, no matter where you enter. For example, it doesn't matter if you enter at the northernmost entry of the express lanes to go south, or if you enter halfway through. If the toll is $1 at that time, it will be $1 no matter where you enter.
All right. Thanks, David. Lots of information for you all to think about. Again, if you've just joined us and you'd like to ask a question, our focus is on the proposed toll rates for the North I-25 express lanes that you heard a little bit about. If you have a question, press star 3 and you'll be transferred to an operator who will take down some quick information and get you in the queue. So again, press star 3 now. Please remember, we would love your feedback on the proposed tolls that David just described. Why don't we take our first question from Dr. Aldrich? Doctor, go ahead.
Yes, my name is Dr. Aldrich. I live in Thornton. I travel I-25 all the time. I saw that in 2017, CDOT plans to change the HOV numbers from 2+ to 3+. I find this highly disheartening and discriminatory because of the number of people who are either young marrieds, empty nesters, or senior citizens like myself who will find ourselves stuck with a toll when you move from 2+ to 3+.
Thank you, Dr. Aldrich. This is Megan Castle. Wanted to talk about why we're moving from HOV 2 to 3. We are moving from 2 to 3 in order to provide a reliable travel time for all people in the express lane, and especially those who are paying customers for the single toll, and also for transit time. We have contractual obligations to RTD to allow them to have their buses make certain times, and we also will always offer two free or other free general purpose lanes in addition to that express lane, so you're always going to have a choice.
All right, good. Let's go next to Ron. What's your question tonight? Ron, go ahead. You're live with our audience.
My concern is, why do we have to have a special tag and pay for a tag if our intentions are only to use the HOV lane? Because we're obviously more than two in the car, and you know, it seems like you're subjecting people to undue, you know, credit and whatever to get something that should be free. You know, the highways that are free now are ones that we paid for, and so the free lanes, I get it, but the HOV lane, I don't get why I should have to get two cars with fitted so that we can use the HOV lane if that's our only intention.
Megan, you've heard this question before. Why don't you address it?
Sure. Thanks, Ron. So when CDOT opened up the US 36 Express lanes and also the Central I-25 lanes last summer, we have all lanes for HOV, for RTD, the transit, and also for toll-paying customers. And in order to not charge carpoolers, we want them to have a switchable transponder so that they can distinguish themselves and not receive a license plate toll. So we use this technology so that they don't receive that license plate toll. But I also wanted to tell you that there's going to be some new procedures for motorcycles and carpoolers who use the HOV express lanes like US 36 and I-25. And these are that motorcycles will no longer be required to have a transponder to use CDOT's HOV express lanes for free. And CDOT will be offering the switchable HOV transponder for free to drivers who are planning to carpool only in CDOT's HOV express lanes. We are working, CDOT, HPTE, and Express Toll, our back office partners, are working together to create a timeline for the implementation of these changes. The process is going to take some time, but you can always get updates at CDOT's website. Go to Express Lanes page. Thank you.
All right, let's go to Dave next with a question. Go right ahead.
Hi, my question was about where the funds of the tolls actually go to, who receives those?
Thanks, Dave. This is David, and I can answer that question. You know, at CDOT, we know that we can't build ourselves out of congestion. So tolled managed lanes like these are a way that we can provide additional capacity for commuters in the state. At CDOT and HPTE, we do not toll for revenue generation. We toll for congestion relief. So all of the tolls that we earn on this corridor and others will go to pay for our operations and maintenance costs. And then we will reinvest those revenues, to the extent that there are any extras, back into the corridor itself. Thanks, Dave.
All right, thank you. Again, if you've just joined us and would like to ask a question, press star 3 on your keypad. We've had some great questions so far. Why don't we take a survey question first before we go back to questions? So here's how you participate. Once I read the question, use your telephone keypad to enter the number of your response. It's pretty easy. Here's question number one. The mayor earlier mentioned the future plans to extend the express lanes on I-25 even further north from 120th to E-470. Northern Colorado communities are also looking for congestion relief. What is your level of support for a public-private partnership, or P3, where CDOT works with the private sector to finance and deliver future transportation projects across the state? So press 1 if you strongly support using a public-private partnership. Press 2 if you somewhat support a P3 as a form of financing an extension. And press 3 if you do not support using a P3. Please record your vote now, and I'll share the results with you in just a minute. While you're voting, we'll take another question. And again, as a reminder, star 3 will get you in line. Richard is next. Go right ahead.
We are in the mindset that we need to charge, use the mountain roads, $30, whatever. It just seems like there's no end to that idea. We've paid for these roads once. Toll roads in Colorado were intended like the old road to Boulder. Once it was paid for, it was public. Now we have E-470, and nobody knows what's going on there. We need to get out of the mindset. The last guy, I can't remember his name, who said congestive relief. If you're going to really think of congestive relief, get people from all areas. Find out where all of the people are traveling to, set different times, 5 in the morning, 6, 7, 8, and spread out the amount of people. If you have two or more, use the HOV lane. Trucks should only be in one lane, the right-hand lane, or the lane that is conducive to them going to where they're going if they're going out, like, out east. We could do a whole heck of a lot better than what we're doing. And the idea,
let me have Commissioner
for
jump
every
in and,
car is just abominable. We need to get off the
idea.
Hi, Richard.
Pay,
this
pay,
is.
Pay. We're sick of that. The public is sick.
I hear you, Richard. This is Kathy Gilliland, and I'd like to at least answer a little bit of your question there. I understand you might be a little bit upset about the cost of taking the express lane. But let me tell you that we have a real constrained funding environment right now with our transportation programs. We have population growing significantly, and we just don't have the dollars coming in to cover that. And I could go into a lot more detail, but if we want to have an offline conversation, we could do that. But what the express lanes also do for us is it allows us to provide a reliable travel time by adjusting the amount of tolls that we assess for people traveling, and that we can control how that traffic flows, which also then helps the general purpose lanes as well. And so it is a big benefit to helping keep traffic moving to the best of our ability and give us some control over that. It also does, as David mentioned earlier, help with the operation and maintenance to reinvest hopefully in the corridor. So that's the basics of your question, I think.
And this is Megan. I just wanted to add about express lanes. So express lanes are a tolled option, but they're always in conjunction with two free general purpose lanes. And we have been seeing examples across US 36 and the Mountain Express Lane that express lanes benefit all users of the express lane corridors. So they're seeing faster speeds, more consistent speeds, and reduced travel times for the entire corridor, and that includes the general purpose lanes.
All right. Thank you both. Here are the results of our first survey question. Again, we asked, what is your level of support for a public-private partnership, or P3, to finance and deliver critical future transportation projects? 53% of you said you do not support. 28% said you somewhat support a P3. And 19% said you strongly support. We appreciate your participation, and we're going to have a couple more questions later in the call, so stick around so that you can participate in those. If you are just joining us late, good evening, and thank you for participating in this telephone town hall hosted by the Colorado Department of Transportation and the High Performance Transportation Enterprise. My name's Roger, and I'll be your moderator as we talk about the proposed toll rates for the North I-25 Express Lane. You can participate in the discussion by pressing *3 on your keypad, and you'll be transferred to an operator who will take down your information and get you in the queue. So again, *3 on your keypad to ask a question. Also might be a good time to mention that if you can't stay on the call for the full hour, and we've got, 45 minutes left, but if you can't stay for the full hour and would like to leave us a comment, you can press *9 anytime on the call and you'll be transferred to a voicemail. So *3 to ask a question live and *9 to ask a voice or to leave a voice message, excuse me. Let's go back to questions, and Janice, you're next. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Jan. I live in the Thornton, Broomfield, Westminster 128-136 area, and I'd like to thank all of you. So professional, it's just awesome forum. And I have seen consistent speeds on the freeways going south to I-25, so I appreciate that just as of late in the last 6 weeks or so. My question is in regards to noise reduction and your thoughts and methodologies on how we're going to kind of decrease the noise because of the congestion up to, I-44 or 144. Thanks a lot once again for all the due diligence you do for Denver.
Yeah, this is Jason Lucerne, and we are actually adding sound walls through the area as we speak, actually, and they're concrete sound walls that are lower decibel levels quite significantly compared to the wood walls that are already there. So with those sound walls, I believe they're designed to be lower those decibel levels and hopefully make that noise reduction for all the people out there. Thanks.
All right, next is Donna. Go right ahead with your question.
Yes, we travel to California quite a bit, and we notice that the HOV lanes are permanent, non-revenue generating. They're part of the freeway, and why can't we do that? We have so many people coming to Colorado. Our economy is booming, and to say that we can't afford to have permanent free HOV is a little wrong.
Thanks, Donna. You know, it's a great question, and the fact of the matter is that in Colorado, we have a very funding-constrained environment. And unfortunately, sales tax revenues, gas tax revenues, none of those revenues in our all of our different pots of money are enough to pay for transportation improvements. And the only way that we can make certain transportation improvements, including adding new capacity to our freeways and interstate system around Colorado, is through the use of tolled managed lanes. We toll those lanes, and we offer single occupancy drivers the ability to pay a toll to go through those lanes. Those lanes are managed lanes, and they also accommodate transit, buses, as well as HOV vehicles, as you've heard tonight, who can travel for free. So we also have the general purpose lanes, which are always available to be used to travel for free. So by expanding the capacity with toll revenues is really the only way in Colorado, in our funding-constrained environment, that we can pay for new capacity on our infrastructure. Thanks.
All right, thanks, David. Jim is next. Thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. My name is Jim. I live in unincorporated Adams County, and I completely support the HOV lanes. They did wonders for Seattle. My question is, what will be the times for northbound, and what will be the times for southbound? Because I'm assuming that they're going to be like the lanes that are closer to downtown. They're going to be switched back and forth for times of the day.
Jim, thanks for your question. So these new North I-25 express lanes are open 24/7. They are open all the time. They will connect to the central lanes that you mentioned, and those are reversible. So when in the morning, they will connect southbound, and in the evening for the peak hour rush, they will connect northbound. Thank you.
All right, great questions so far tonight. Again, if you have a question, press star 3. Why don't, before we take our next question, we'll ask a survey question. Again, to participate, use your telephone keypad to enter the number of your response. Here is question number 2. By no later than January 1st, 2017, CDOT's carpool requirements will change from a driver and one passenger to a driver plus two passengers, or HOV3. We've heard a little bit about that earlier and had a couple questions. What would help you meet the new carpool requirement to travel in the HOV express lane for free? Press 1 for carpool matching services. Press 2 for carpool incentives, prizes, etc. Press 3 for employer education programs to help you find passengers at work. Press 4 for all of the above, and press 5 for none of the above. Please record your vote now. And again, I'll share the results with you in just a few minutes. While you're voting, we'll take another question. And it's from Rick this time. Go right ahead.
Yeah, my question is, I understand that you guys are under a lot of restraints financially, but where is all the lottery dollars and this new pot revenue, where does that come into effect?
That's a great question, Rick. You know, the lottery dollars, the marijuana revenues from sales taxes associated with the sale of marijuana, none of those revenues go towards transportation. They're dedicated revenues, and they are targeted towards specific funds that have been approved by the state legislature and the voters. But unfortunately, we don't see those revenues for transportation, which is why we're using tools like toll managed express lanes to help create additional capacity for our commuters in Colorado. Thanks for your question.
All right, again, good questions tonight. Here are the results of our second survey question. Again, we asked, what would help you meet the new carpool requirements that will begin in January 2017? 30% said all of the above, and it was really evenly divided between matching services, carpool incentives, and employer education programs to help you find passengers at work. We appreciate your participation tonight, and we're going to have one more question, so stick around the call so we can get your input on that third polling question. And let's see if Kathy, go ahead with your question. Kathy, you're live with our audience.
Hi, my name is Kathy, and I live in Thornton. My question was, do we have to pay for two of them sticky things that go on your window if you have more than one person in your home that goes the tollway? Do we have to pay for two of them?
Kathy, thank you for your question. So each vehicle is going to need a switchable transponder if they would like to carpool. And again, as mentioned earlier, there's going to be some new procedures that will help carpoolers, and that will be for people who carpool only. They'll be able to get a switchable transponder for free. So if you would like information on that, you can go to CDOT's website and go to the Express Lanes page. There will be information updated on that as we implement these new changes. Thank you.
All right, we're going to call in Nicole next. Go right ahead. Nicole, go ahead. Well, Nicole's gone. Brian, you're next with a question. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I have a question regarding emergency access. If there's a wreck on either the northbound or southbound free traffic lanes, who is going to make the decision to open up the toll lanes to be free for as a way and a means to get around that? Is that going to be a police officer, or is that going to be a no-go, never-will-happen event?
Thanks. We do this now on the Mountain Express Lane as well as on US 36. We work with our partners at Colorado State Patrol and the Colorado Department of Transportation to watch these lanes. And when there's an incident in the lanes, these tolled lanes, the express managed lanes, are really useful at helping to clear accidents. In fact, in the short time that the Mountain Express Lane has been open this winter, we've actually seen incident response times decrease from where they were before. So this use of the new managed express lanes helps us in clearing incidents quickly and removing them from traffic so that everybody can get back on their way. Thanks.
All right. Susan is next. Go right ahead.
Hi. Several times you've mentioned funding constraints, and I want to go along the line of that last caller. Instead of just the scripted answer of we have funding constraints, what are those actual funding constraints, and how can we advocate to change policy to increase funding? Is this all through budget, through the legislature, or is there other opportunities to increase the revenue so that we can have better transportation?
Hi, Susan. This is Kathy. I would like to answer your question. It's a really good question. Our funding constraints go back to the taxes that we get that we use for highway improvements and expansion are very limited. We have highway that we get through the state. We get a tax on our gas taxes, and then we also have one from the federal government. And those two just amount to about 40 cents per gallon. And so anytime you go to the gas pump, you may think that if it goes up to $5 a gallon, that you're paying a lot more towards taking care of the infrastructure. And we're really not. Legislatively, we have faster funds also that was passed, a legislation bill that allows us to keep some of the revenues from when you go to get your license plate renewed. You may notice that you pay an extra fee for that, but that goes into our bridges that we have and some safety projects as well. We're really, really limited in what we have, and these taxes that we get for gas tax have not been raised since the early 1990s. And so we are, you know, as our population grows, as our projects get more expensive, as our congestion grows, and we try to maintain the roads that we already have, the dollars coming in are worth much less, and they are really getting much less because of our hybrids that we have. We're not buying as much gas these days, and that's going to continue to depreciate over the next few years. And so we have to find other ways to meet our needs. So we continue to struggle. We continue to ask the state legislators to contribute additional funding to transportation. There have been several bills this year that have tried to address that, and we continue to work on that. So you can help, I think, by continuing to support when there are initiatives that come up where the public is asked to contribute more to transportation funding. Please consider it. Don't just say it's another tax and we want to say no. It is for a very worthy investment for our state and the health of our economy.
Thank you, Commissioner. Megan, before we take some more calls, we've had a lot of discussion already about the pass. Do you want to talk a little bit more about that?
Sure. Thanks, Roger. The pass is the easiest way to use any of our express lanes. And we want to remind everyone that you always have a choice. You can use the general purpose lanes for free, or you can carpool, ride the bus, or pay a toll. If you do choose to pay a toll, you can save money with an Express Toll account and pass. So we encourage you to get one. It's easy to do and gives you the most flexibility to carpool or to pay a toll at any time. You can create an account online at www.expresstoll.com. Or you can call their service center at 303-537-3470 and talk to a service representative. That's 303-537-3470. For drivers with an Express Toll Pass, tolls are deducted from your prepaid account only when you use the Express Lanes. You won't pay extra fees with your Express Toll Pass, and you can use it on the Mountain Express Lane, E-470, the Northwest Parkway, and existing and future express lanes in Colorado. You can order a switchable pass if you want the option of traveling for free in HOV express lanes as a carpooler or paying a toll for a reliable travel time. In the future, drivers who plan to only carpool in HOV express lanes will be able to do so without being charged. Once they decide to use the switchable pass with the toll option, they will be charged the amount of the pass plus a toll.
All right. Thank you, Megan. Again, let me repeat a couple of those numbers she just mentioned. The Express Toll Service Center can be reached at 303-537-3470. And you can talk to a representative. So again, 303-537-3470. And you can also go online and create an account, and that is www.expresstoll.com. It's real simple to do. Why don't we take a second to ask our last polling question, and then we'll get back to questions from callers. So here's our third polling question. What do you see as the biggest benefit to the express lanes? Press 1 if your answer is time savings and better commutes. Press 2 if your answer is having a choice. Press 3 if your answer is less traffic in the general purpose lanes. Press 4 if the answer is all of the above. And press 4 if your answer is none of the above. Record your vote now, and as I have been doing, I'll share the results with you in just a minute. And while you're voting, we're going to call on Suetta for a question. Go right ahead.
Yes, I'm an elder, and the switchable pass has not really been explained well enough for us elder people. And my problem is I have a transponder right now. I really object to paying for a new one because I give access to my bank account to you guys. So I think that's a trade-off, and it should be for free.
Suetta, thanks for your question. So earlier we talked about how there's going to be new procedures for motorcyclists and also for carpoolers on the HOV express lanes that CDOT has for US 36 and also the North I-25 and Central I-25 express lanes. So you will be able to get a transponder for free, and if you have only used your transponder as a carpooler, you will be able to get your $15 back. Thank you.
Great. All right, here are the results of our third and final polling question. Again, we ask, what do you see as the biggest benefit to the express lanes? And 27% said less traffic in the general purpose lanes. 19% said time savings and better commutes. And then 34% of you said all of the above. So that's great. I think once you get used to it, folks are pretty pleased with the results of our express lanes around the state. Next up, well, let me also remind you, press star 3 if you'd like to ask a question. We have about 20 minutes left, so you have plenty of time to get in line. Shelley, thanks for your patience. Go right ahead.
Thank you. I have to tell you, I am thrilled with the opening of this extra lane. It saves me at least 15 minutes every morning commuting into Denver. So I'm very happy about it, whether I have to pay for it or not. My question goes to the HOV and who's eligible for HOV. Because, first of all, I don't agree with changing it to 3. I think it's hard enough to coordinate 2 people's schedules, let alone 3, to be able to use the HOV in carpool. But I see very often in the carpool lanes going into Denver, people with an infant in the back seat or a child in the back seat. And I thought the whole intention of an HOV lane was to get drivers off of the road so that it helps our environment, and that's not helping get people off the road.
Shelley, thanks for your question. Yes, we absolutely want to provide options, and HOV and carpooling is one of those options that we're offering. We do count children for HOV capacity, and so those drivers for families are able to carpool as long as they have the correct amount of passengers in their car. Thank you.
Okay, we're going to call on John next. Go right ahead with your question.
Hello, my name is John, and first of all, I'd like to just say that I've been driving in the lane, and it's been great from 120th South. And but I must say that the lane is a little bit rough. It's a sort of a rough ride compared to the rest of the road. So if somebody can address that later, that'd be fine. The funding constraint part, I was just curious if they were looking at any other funding, such as an impact fee for all the new homes that are going up in the north area. Is there any way that that can help subsidize some of the cost, and so we have a less of a fee to use the HOV lane?
Thanks, John. We're glad you're having a good experience and travel time savings on the road. You know, back to the funding question and how do we finance our roads, it would be great if we had a number of different sources. One of the main functions of the high-performance transportation enterprise is to identify alternative financing opportunities for our surface transportation infrastructure. And one of the main ways we do that is through user fees or toll revenues that go back into the system and help to expand capacity. Another alternative financing mechanism, you mentioned improvement fees, one that we use and have used successfully here in the past is public-private partnerships. I'm sure many of you have heard about the new University of Colorado A-Line train to the airport from Denver Union Station, and that transaction was financed through a public-private partnership. So High Performance Transportation Enterprise, working with CDOT, uses that type of alternative financing mechanism to help support additional infrastructure capacity in Colorado. Thanks for your question.
All right, Star 3, if you'd like to get in line with a question. Brian, you're next. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I've noticed, I've used the lanes a few times. I've noticed that we have a severe educational issue going on with people pulling into and out of the lanes over the double white lines. And I've noticed also that on none of the HOV lanes that we've ever put in here do we have any sort of public education campaign about how to use that. And I'm wondering, is there any sort of idea about what to do about that, or are we just going to wait and have a bunch of accidents and then finally do something about it?
Brian, thanks for your question. This is a real issue. We have, first of all, signage that says do not cross the solid white line and clearly mark where you can enter and you can exit at the dotted lines in and out. Law enforcement does note that, and you would receive a moving violation for going across that. As far as educating the public on that, we are beyond the signs, we have information on the CDOT website with the Express Lanes page. We are out there talking with stakeholders. We have information about how to use the lanes at our site, and we're happy to come and talk to your groups. Thank you.
All right, Megan, thank you. Edward is next. Go right ahead with your question. Edward, you're on with our audience. Go right ahead. Well, we've lost. Give him a chance to unmute. All right, let's go on to Barbara next. Barbara, what's your question tonight?
I was questioning where does the toll road money go, and does our country own the toll roads or Colorado?
Thank you, Barbara. Great question. Yes, the state of Colorado, the Colorado Department of Transportation, is the owner and operator of these roads for the benefit of our traveling public like you. And the toll revenues that we generate on these roads go right back into the roads themselves. CDOT does not toll to generate revenue. We toll for congestion relief. So our toll rates are set at a level so that we can repay our operations and maintenance costs to keep the road running in a smooth and efficient manner. And then to the extent that we make additional revenues on this segment, we will reinvest those revenues in the corridor for additional improvements. Thanks for your question.
All right, great questions. We have about 10 minutes left, a little more than 10 minutes. So press star 3, and we'll get you in line to ask your question. Kevin is next. Go right ahead.
Well, my question was already answered from waiting so long, but I do have another question, and that is that obviously this price structure that you're coming up with is the way it starts. Growing up in New York, I know how it gets exorbitant and, you know, people get greedy. But anyway, so that being said, what roughly, based on the calculations that you're coming at, being that the national average medium family household income is $53,000, will that cost roughly? Has anybody done the math? You know, $3 one way, $3 the next, that's $15, $30, you know, $1,500 a year. Or what number is that based on? Have you guys done some figurings in on that or what?
Thanks for your question. You know, the toll rates are always optional. We'll remind folks that you can choose to pay to travel in the lane, or you can choose to take the general purpose lanes for free. And the great thing about these express lanes that we've been seeing based on data from the Mountain Express Lane as well as US 36 is that these express lanes benefit users of across all three lanes of traffic. So for example, on the Mountain Express Lane, we've seen travel times and speeds increase through that section by up to 50% across all lanes of traffic. So you never have to pay the toll. And the great thing about a managed lane as opposed to a dedicated tollway, for example, is that there's always the choice. A driver always has a choice to use the general purpose lanes for free that are right alongside it. Thanks for your question.
All right, good question. Next is Tracy. Go right ahead.
Hi, this is Tracy. I want to know if this new transponder is going to also be able to be used on E-470.
Hi, Tracy. The switchable transponder and also the sticker that you can use are able to be used on any of CDOT's express lanes. They can also be used on the Northwest Parkway and on E-470. So if you get a pass, you can use them on any of the toll roads or any of CDOT's express lanes. Thank you.
Kim, go ahead. You're next.
Yes. My question was about speed signage on the toll road. I use it often. I am more than willing to pay it. I'm happy to pay it. But I'll admit, I go over the speed limit in the toll road, but there are still cars that get on my tail and flash me like I have to get over because I'm not going fast enough for them.
Hi, Kim. Certainly, this is a safety issue. We do want to have all motorists in the express lane and also in general purpose lanes traveling at the speed limit. And just a reminder that there is law enforcement out there. Thank you.
All right. That's a problem everywhere, isn't it? All right. Next up is Dick. Go right ahead. Hello, Dick. Are you there?
Yes. Yes.
Go right ahead.
Well, who sets the fees for the express lanes? Why are they so high? And why are they changing the HOV lanes to 3 from 2 when there isn't that much traffic on at 2? Thank you.
Thanks for your question. And we've addressed the moving from HOV2 to HOV3 question earlier in the call, and the answer to that is for congestion relief. As we get more and more people moving to the metro area, the congestion increases, and so congestion relief is the reason for the switch. And as far as who sets the toll rates, the High Performance Transportation Enterprise Board of Directors, which is a board that is made up of appointees from the governor as well as the Transportation Commission, sets the toll rates. They have monthly meetings that are open to the public, and its records are open to the public, and you're welcome to come and comment on those. And the reason that we do public outreaches like this telephone town hall is for folks to be able to comment on the toll rates. So thanks for your comment and your question.
All right. Aileen? Probably mispronounced that, but go right ahead if you're next.
Elaine, right?
Elaine, yes. Thank you. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering why the legislatures of transportation itself don't have the foresight to ask for, say, a temporary fee from the over taxes on, like, the pot sales and what have you. Also, the gentleman before had the question about the legislature and why, let's see. Oh, wait a minute. I guess I'm just forgetting that one. Never mind then. All right. That's it.
Thanks, Elaine. I'll take the first part of your question. You know, in Colorado, we have the Taxpayer Bill of Rights, which allows all of the voters of Colorado to be able to vote on the tax revenues and how they're spent. So voters voted for where the tax revenues for marijuana sales taxes would go. Those don't go to transportation. And so for transportation, we have to look to other sources like user fees and toll roads and able to fund our transportation improvements. Thanks.
All right, next up is Donna. Go right ahead with your question.
Yes, thank you. I didn't get on the call until just a few minutes ago when I got the call alerting me that it was on, so perhaps this question has already been asked and answered. But why is the toll from 70th Avenue still $4.65 now that we have additional cars coming in from further north? To go 4.5 miles, that's really high.
Donna, thanks for your question. So the tolls are set in order to ensure a reliable travel time. We don't want to have the tolls set at a price too high that nobody uses the lane, and we don't want the price set too low that not enough cars are in that lane. So they do price it in order to get the right amount of cars in that lane to provide a reliable travel time. And also, just to remind you that about these lanes, that we encourage drivers to get in and drive the entire length of the North I-25 express lane, and you're charged the same toll whether you get in at the first, second, or third gantry there. So whether if you're coming from the north, if you get in at 120th, or if you get in at around 84th, you're going to pay the same toll. And CDOT is doing that in order to get those drivers into the express lane and help relieve the congestion over in the general purpose lanes. Thanks.
All right. If you have a question, kind of last call to get in line, press star 3 and our screeners will get you right on the call. Next is Elizabeth. Go right ahead.
Hi. I appreciate you guys and all your work and everything, but my question is with the revenue gap. I know it's hard, but you guys are aware that there's a depleting tax revenue, and I kind of feel like you have a defeatist attitude towards this by going towards only corporate partners or tolling people. Is that your perpetual plan, or at some point are you going, like, knowing that hybrids and the gas tax is going to blow, are you going to try to seek other revenue, like tax revenue? Is this a, like,
great question,
corporation or public?
Thanks for asking that question. You're absolutely right. You know, gas tax revenues are declining, and those gas tax revenue dollars don't go as far as they used to. Right now, we have alternatives in Colorado, and our alternatives, honestly, are limited. User fees, like toll roads, are one option, and the other option is private-public partnerships. Private-public partnerships are a way for the public sector and the private sector to work together to help finance and fund a project that otherwise might not be able to be completed. And two examples of that are the US 36 Express Lanes project, which are now operating. And in that project, we've seen, as just one example, folks are experiencing travel time savings of up to 10 miles an hour during rush hour commutes across all lanes of traffic. And another public-private partnership is the Eagle P3 project, the new University of Colorado A-line to the airport. That was funded and financed through a public-private partnership, and by all accounts, at an early stage, that's been very successful as well. So right now, these are the tools in our toolbox that we've got, and while tax revenues would be great, we have a diminishing set of tax revenues right now.
I'd also like to add on to that. This is Kathy. And, we have a bit of legislation in Colorado that other states don't have, and that's Tabor. And I don't know, it's a very complicated piece of legislation, but what it does is it says that we cannot assess any new taxes unless it's approved by the general public. And so that's another restraint that we have, that it's like legislators at our state government, they cannot just say we're going to assess a new tax for transportation and without the approval of the general public. So, that's number one, and we continue to try and work around that to do what we can with the information that we do have and the dollars we have. We also do apply for grants to the extent that we can that come out of the federal government, and we're working on some right now. We also have looked to our local partners in different communities, and we've asked them to participate in different programs to where they can help us get some of these projects done and also help us apply for some of these grants that I was talking about to show that we are working as hard as we can within the state of Colorado to get the funding that we can across the board with these partnerships to where we can do what we can with what we have. So we are doing all of that and continuing to work with our federal legislators and the federal government to try and make them and keep them aware of the restraints that we have and to ask them to help with some funding, additional funding for transportation to help us out. Thank you.
All right, next is Gary. Gary, go ahead with your question.
Hi. We are going to have continued huge growth, as the governor mentioned. One concern I have is the walls that are being built. There looks like there's an awful lot of extra space on the other side of the walls, and if we're going to be building one, two, three more lanes, we should be moving those walls out as far as possible from the existing highway so that we're not tearing them down, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, as we grow make the highway bigger. It's probably not easy to do, but we should double the gas tax, in the state and in the federal government. I had listened to a talk show, about somebody had asked why the northbound, lanes are paying tolls and south doesn't have it. And the head of CDOT said that, well, this is going to be the new norm. Well, I agree with that. But then at this, a month later, I heard they were opening up lanes down towards Castle Rock, and they don't have a toll, so it was not quite fair in that respect. All toll roads in the future, you know, P3s, really need to have the state or federal government pay at least half of it so that the tolls are reasonable and people will use them. One lady had talked about, and this was, I guess...
Thanks, Gary.
All right.
Appreciate your feedback. You know, we'll get to the piece about the design of the project and why the walls are where they're at. But on what you were saying before, a lot of that is absolutely right. You know, revenues are tight, and unless there's a vote of the people to increase gas tax revenues or some other source, we'll have to try and make do with what we've got. I'm going to hand you over to Jason to talk a little bit about the design of the project and the walls. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks. The location of the sound walls are actually constrained by design, housing limits where the housings are, and they're placed in that location for noise reduction reasons and constraint reasons. So that's why. Thanks.
All right. Well, we are close to the end of our time for tonight. Commissioner, do you have some final thoughts you'd like to share?
Yes, I do. As an HPTE board member, it's important to get feedback before we take action on these proposed toll rates. And so, as much as we do to assess what we think the toll should be and do all the research that we do, and I can tell you that we do take this very seriously in setting the toll rates and making sure that we're assessing them appropriately. We would like to thank everyone for their participation and appreciate your input on this important subject this evening. We still go back and we need to understand how it affects you in using these express lanes, and we appreciate you calling in and asking the questions because it gives us an opportunity to talk to you about, you know, what we do know and help answer some of those questions that may be lingering out there about express lanes, what they're intended to do, and all about the tolling that we're talking about. And so we do sincerely appreciate your time tonight in listening and asking the questions. And thank you.
Commissioner, thank you. As we are sorry if we didn't get to your question tonight. And if you'd like to leave a question, you can do so at the end of the call. Just stay on the line. Or if you've thought of something else you'd like to ask, you'll have that opportunity to leave it at the end of the call. On behalf of our panelists, Commissioner Gilliland, and all of us at CDOT and HPTE, thank you for participating tonight. And have a good evening.